Hi, Dom. Great to have you here for our weekly sort of week ahead view for our clients.
Hi, Henry. I'm just listening to you, and I was going to crack a joke about nothing is happening in the US. We get the summer
No,
lull.
absolutely. And
What's
so
that
for
track?
quick context, yeah, sorry. For context, we were recording on Friday. We've just had the labor market data, obviously very, very strong bid in US rates immediately after that. I suppose that'll be a good place to start is just what is your take on the labor market data, and how has it changed things or not?
So you it's a number that's uniformly bad, but a couple of things you've got to put it in context. So first of all, the bad numbers happen. The 90% confidence interval for NFP is 130,000. So as you get closer to normal, you're more likely to have low data, low prints. I mean, just to give you an example, in February 2019, NFP was 5K. Yet this is a year that Chair Powell described as very strong labor market. Then you need to look at the details of the release, and there are a couple of things that suggest this could be noise. We don't know, but for instance, not much change in involuntary part-timers, no change in the black unemployment, which unfortunately tends to be very pro-cyclical. Then you had a big increase in temporary layoff, which is a bit of a mystery because in principle, the hurricane, its name was Beryl, should not impact the results because as long as, even if you are out of work the day of or the week of the survey, as long as you get paid 1 hour during the survey week, you're still counted as employed. But we had this 250K increase in temporary layoff, which is very unusual. So it's probably distorted the rest of the survey. It's hard. I'm waiting basically for the San Francisco Fed weather-adjusted NFP to get a sense of, whether this data could be linked to the hurricane. Then you relate it to other market data, and there is no sign of a big weakening. We got the JOLTS, okay, it's a lagged, but the lag data showed not much change in the ratios, of unemployed per openings or actual hires per total openings. The unemployment claims data, I know the market is focused on every microscopic change, but the bottom line is the insured unemployment rate has been very stable, 1.1%. So, I'm going to look at the data with a fine comb and an open mind. Yes, we have triggered the SAMS rule, but as Chair Powell said, and as Claudia Sam herself said, this is a empirical regularity is not a predictive rule. And also, if you look at the broader data, so my favorite aggregator of data is the Atlanta Fed Nowcast, and it's well above trend. So I'm tempted to think that it's more noise than signal, but as I said, data first and foremost. So I'm just going to look at the details. In terms of the Fed, so I think what it does is that it adds to the risk of a September cut because Even if this is not the start of a trend, I think it signals that we are getting closer to normal, to this normalization. So it makes a case for, normal starting the normalization of policy sooner than later. Beyond that, I think the Fed is going to do exactly what I've said, which is to put things in context. I mean, obviously, look at the data with a fine comb, but put things in context and obviously not overreact. So we have a couple of doves speaking next week, Daly and Goolsbee. And I suspect those guys were two cuts. So we had two, we had out of 19 dots, we had eight for two 2024 cuts. So I think they are just going to make their case again. I don't see them calling for multiple cuts. I mean, the Fed does not overreact. Think of it as a super tanker that takes time to turn around. So that's it. And then we have the ISM services. And of course, if there is a miss, there will be even more of a market demand for multiple cuts. And by the way, in terms of multiple cuts, the other thing to keep in mind is that Powell knows very well that, if he starts talking about multiple cuts, twice as much will get priced in. So that's another reason to expect the Fed speakers to be very data focused and think like economists, which means, as Powell said, not overreacting to a single data point and putting everything into context.
So, and in terms of you sort of mentioned the labor market, obviously that is a single print. When would you expect, or when would you feel that that kind of the weakness that we've seen, you would count it as kind of being confirmed, if you know what I mean, by the data? Would it be next month's data? Would it be have to be sort of several months sort of in a row? What would kind of what's your feel on that front in terms of how soon we can kind of confirm whether this is a one-off or not?
So it's not just a question of repeating data weaknesses, but of what is happening in the rest of the economy. If we see suddenly, retail sales collapsing, purchases of durables, these are purchases that people make with expectations of their future income. Same for CapEx. If we saw those collapsing, yeah, it would be a sign of pervasive economic weakness, and I think the Fed would move to multiple cuts. But if everything else holds out and we just have this one-off, then the Fed would need more bad labor market data to change its policy outlook.
Sure thing. And so on the Fed, obviously the market's now pricing pretty much 50 basis points September and then 100 basis points by the end of the year. Where do you stand on that now?
I don't see, I mean, again, going back to the FOMC, Powell was asked if 50 basis point was likely, and he said no. And so to do 50 basis point, he would have to be convinced that, we are dealing with what he called unexpected labor market weakening. But this is a poor choice of term, because what he meant is labor market weakening above and beyond normalization. So today we got, in a statistical sense, unexpected labor market weakening, but I don't think it was Powell's unexpected market weakening. I think we need more data from the labor market and more macro data to make a case that the economy is weakening unexpectedly. Maybe that's something that the doves will explain next week. I think, Henry, you just gave me the title of my NFP review.
Oh, glad to be of
They'll
help.
send you.
The broken clock strikes twice a day. Yes, I mean, it's an interesting one though, because, I mean, more broadly, I guess, what are your thoughts in terms of if is there a risk that the Fed, as you mentioned, starting with the 50 basis points, for instance, do you think that sort of opens them up to being misconstrued as cutting back to zero, or do you think that's what's going to be kind of weighing on Powell's mind, or do you think they would take that if they felt it needed, say, a 50 basis point easing, they would just take that decision as that, if that makes sense, and wouldn't be sort of reading too much into how it's being read by the market.
Oh, if Powell cuts 50, as you said, there is a good chance the market will price zero by the middle of next year, which is why I think Fed speakers are going to be extremely measured in their comments and stick to the data closely. Or at least that's how I would do it. I
No, that
also
makes sense.
think that we're going to get probably more detailed explanation on the release, and in particular on this temporary layoff, which seems to have driven the
Yeah.
weakness in the whole release. There's no question something was going on that week, and we're going to get more anecdotal evidence as to what that might be.
And within the sort of temporary layoff bit, is that a part of the number that's normally quite heavily revised, or like sort of month after, or is that normally one that stays quite stable?
It's not the data that people pay a lot of attention to because it
Okay.
doesn't move much. So this month was an outlier. But again, I mean, to me, the most important thing is to ignore the noise, the back market noise. Just stick to the data, look at it from the Fed perspective. Which is basically to put it into context and to take into account that single data points can be quite noisy, but at the same time, not to ignore the signal, which is no question it's negative for the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I suppose there'll be a lot more opportunity for the market to kind of digest, because it is a bit of a quieter week next week, isn't it? So I suppose there's quite a few events this week that are all kind of.
So next week in the US, I mean, maybe, given how the politics has gone, God knows what's going to happen. But yeah, let's talk a bit about the politics. Kamala Harris has now caught up with Trump. And so both in the polls and in the betting markets, she is going to get the official nod because there will be a virtual vote from the delegates, so no mystery. That's one outcome that we can feel confident about. And she's going to announce her vice president. So that's the main things for the politics. In terms of Fed, as I mentioned, we have these two doves and let's see how they react. In terms of economics, the main event is the ISM services. And even though, services and soft data in general has really decoupled from hard data, actually, in terms of the ISM surveys, the decoupling predates the pandemic. So decoupling from the GDP data predates the pandemic, but nevertheless, if we have a miss, which is very possible, God knows what the markets are going to price in.
Especially in a sort of low liquidity sort of summer months. But is there any, I know you sort of, and it's the same with PMIs. We've got PMIs, final PMIs next week as well in Europe. But agree in terms of the headline being not that informative these days. But is there detail within the ISM that could be useful? Is there like employment contributions or anything like that we can kind of use to sort of discern a little bit more about the labor market?
Well, I mean, the correlation, month-to-month correlation is not that great. Look, the trend is the economy is normalizing, the labor market especially. And the challenge has always been to ascertain whether the slowdown we are seeing is normalization or something more. And I'm not sure the ASM is going to give us much more information on that.
Sure thing. And I know you do have these, and you mentioned sort of the politics, and you do put out your sort of periodic kind of overviews of the US election. I suppose the burning question right now, from my perspective at least, is do you think there is will be continued momentum behind sort of Harris campaign? Because obviously, I mean, she sort of fizzled out in 2020. She wasn't the most popular vice president, was quite sort of an invisible one, but she's really seen this kind of spike in popularity. Do you think that continues through to the sort of Democratic convention, and that continues to lift it, or is it the kind of the likelihood that it might sort of fade, or?
So that, Henry, I'm not going to predict. It's bad enough having to predict NFP and the US GDP, and I'm not particularly good at it, as we saw today. So I will just say this about Harris. Since I live in the US and I get to see the clips, and she's really stepped up. I mean, she's very different in the clips. Also, when you see her in campaign rallies, very different from the sort of not very sparkly vice president that she was. She actually seems to be enjoying herself. I know it seems hard to believe, but she is. And also, she has done some very clever positioning, presenting herself as a sort of a candidate of normalcy. Of relative youth and basically a sort of a fairly steady person against bitter and angry old men. I mean, that's a perception. I'm not saying that this is what former President Trump is, but I think that's how she's trying to cast herself. And so far, so good. But as I said, 3 months is a very, very long time in politics. Things can change.
No, absolutely. It's a very long, very, very long time in markets as well. So is there anything else sort of that you want to sort of cover off, or anything else to kind of keep an eye out for?
No, I think, I'm hoping that you guys in Europe take away, some of the market's attention. Because in our case, there won't be much going on besides the ISM.
No, sure thing. I'm afraid to disappoint, but there's very little going on this side. We've got final German CPI numbers, which could be interesting for people like me, but for the most part, it's going to be pretty quiet, unfortunately. But we do. I mean, we've just come out of a pretty heavy week in Europe, in fairness, and across the world. Obviously, we've had the Fed, we've had NFP, we've had Bank of Japan and Bank of England as well. So just for all our listeners out there, please do check out our we've done reviews of all of those, as well as Yang's done a piece on the sort of Politburo's latest meeting, etc. So please do kind of check all that stuff out. It's great stuff. Yeah, but otherwise, I'm afraid it's going to be still focused on US.
Well, maybe we get a week of holidays. Wouldn't that be nice for a change?
So very true. But otherwise, I hope you have a great weekend, and thank you so much for joining us once again, and imparting all your wisdom.
Ah, oh, not much wisdom. All right,
Oh.
take care, Henry.
Take care.